Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Yes, it's Mary here on Mom Talk Radio and for Maria Bailey, who is in Peru with her oldest daughter. So we wish them a good, safe journey and lots of fun as they explore another part of the world. And in our part of the world, it is already June. It is unbelievable how fast the school year went. And if your children are like mine, they have, actually they get out of school this week. So they have 3 days of school left, both my high schoolers and my grade schooler. And, of course, the grade schoolers out at 12:30 or 1 o'clock every day, which, doesn't really work for working parents, but it is what it is. She's very happy about that. And this week is pretty much movie day at school, you know, because they took all their finals last week. So if your children are getting ready to finish school and or have finished school, I wish you a happy summer. And speaking of summer, of course, with school ending in right around the corner is summer camp season. So I did a quick little research. You know me and my research. I love looking up numbers. 11 million children in the U.S. are going to be attending summer camps this year. There are between 700. There's about 700 overnight camps in the U.S. and 5,000 day camps. That's a lot. I think the 5,000 day camp seems a little bit low because I can name probably 50 in my area here in South Florida. But the cost of those, that's one of the things. My daughter loves this little beach camp that runs, and because we live on the East Coast, she loves it. But it is pricey. It's about $350 a week, and it's only like basically 8 to 2. But then I looked up the prices, and sure enough, a day camp, it depends. The ranges can go from about $100 to some are $1,300 a week. So it depends. And I know there's really cool overnight camps, and those aren't cheap either. But it depends on whether you go to the church camp or the mountain camps or the sports camps or whatever. But it's still great experiences for the kids. Make sure to pack when you pack your kids' bag, even if it's a day camp, pack some extra little toys that they can take and even give away to some other kids. There's really inexpensive toys you can find even at the dollar store or something as simple as a beach ball that they can play with. So that makes it fun for the kids and makes your child have something in their hand to play with. So we have a great show lined up. Before we jump into the quick brief of the show, I want to mention our sponsor, who is Pre-Mama. If you take a prenatal vitamin and would like to take it in a drink, either a smoothie or a beverage of choice that's non-carbonated, try this. It's a prenatal powder that you add to your beverage, and you go to drinkpremama.com to get more information. They also have fertility supplements and a digestive aid, a digestive chew, which has come out in the last year. So really great doctor recommended vitamins and nutrients in this powder. Moms love it because it's hard to sometimes swallow the big pills that you have to take when you're pregnant or trying to get pregnant or nursing. So Pre-Mama is a great alternative. Again, follow Drink Pre-Mama on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and go to drinkpremama.com for more information. And it's available on Amazon too, by the way. So we have a great show lined up. We are going to talk to author of Knights in Training about how to raise your boys to be knights who are compassionate and caring boys. And we're going to actually talk to a real estate professional who is going to help us choose the right home for your family, depending on your needs and how big your family is. But we'll talk about safety and schools in the area, et cetera. And then we'll end the show with the very important topic of eating disorders. We'll be talking to an expert on the warning signs to look for on this very serious condition that we can, if we catch it early, it's obviously very treatable. Bonnie Brennan is going to be talking about that. And we'll take a quick break, and we're coming up with our first guest, Dr. Lori Berdahl. We'll take a quick break, and we'll jump right into a terrific show. Stay with us.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Our first guest on this wonderful edition of Mom Talk Radio is Dr. Lori Berdahl. She is the co-author of Warning Signs, How to Protect Your Kids from Becoming Victims or Perpetrators of Violence and Aggression. And Dr. Berdahl would like to talk to us about all the things that our kids are exposed to and how we can help them. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So you are you've published a lot of articles about this. So tell us a little bit about the book and what's in the book, and then what in terms of the content and how we can address the violence in the media that our kids are exposed to all the time.
Sure. So Warning Signs is really a how-to guide for parents and different types of professionals who work with youth about all the types of aggression and violence that kids face growing up today. Many of them are new, some of them are old. And then also the warning signs that can alert adults to the fact that their kids might be at risk of becoming a victim or perpetrator of these things, or actually are being affected already. And then, most importantly, practically, like, what to do,
right,
how to help,
right,
how to protect your kids and your family from all the different harms that are occurring today.
So that's two very different things, though, and the book covers both. In other words, being a victim or the perpetrator, those are obviously both extremes.
Yes, absolutely. And because, the risk factors for becoming victims and perpetrators, some of them are very similar, and then there are very, very big differences from things that happen in home lives to things that happen with peers and media, et cetera. But we wanted to cover both sides because, obviously parents want to protect their kids from becoming victims, but sometimes it can be hard to tell if their kid's on a bad trajectory, during their childhood, and they might end up, harming people. And so we wanted to cover both sides. And also, I think sometimes parents are really curious about what happened with a lot of the big perpetrators that are so infamous, Columbine shooters, Adam Lanza. We go into depth in analyzing his case. And so sometimes it's just kind of curiosity, like, oh, gee, could there have been things that would have been done to prevent, these events? And yes, absolutely. There were big warning signs, and there were things that people could have recognized and done something about.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, I was going to ask you if you actually had case studies from actual incidents.
We do, all throughout the book. And we even include our personal lives, some things our children went through growing up, and they're now adults, and our families. And then also from our clinics, so patients and clients, and from news stories, because we thought it was important and interesting, to hook it to real life incidences so people could understand the topic, better.
Right. So the website is called warningsignsforparents.com. Is the book, I'm sure it's not repeated on the website, but is the website offering information as well in terms of warning signs and tips?
Yeah, we have a very full page of parenting resources for all the types of violence and aggression that can affect kids with live links, so parents can find lots of good information there. We also offer about 100 pages of references for our work, which people can go to if they're interested in a particular topic and what the CDC has to say about that, or other organizational organizations that can provide more information. So that provides a big resource center for parents also.
That's great, because there's, we can read all we want, and it sounds good, but we want to know then where do we go? Does it break it down into where to get help if we find our
topic.
Child is either a victim or a perpetrator?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Awesome. So you talk about obviously incidents within the United States, but then we're looking at terrorism on a global level. Is that something that you address in the book?
Yes, we do. It's something that our children worry about.
They're exposed to it all the time at this point.
Yeah. And I think all of us do, yeah. But youth in particular are very vulnerable to these real life scary topics. Growing up in a world that was certainly different than when I was growing up, they can be exposed to real life, footage of events. And this can be overwhelming to to their brains that are still developing until at least, you know, mid-20s. It's really hard for kids to process this type of information and knowledge in a healthy way without help. And so how to handle the knowledge of terrorism by seeing it in the news or hearing about it is definitely covered in our books. We think it's very important. But also, we talk about the origins of terrorism in terms of psychological things, like how do people get enraged enough and extreme enough in their beliefs to think it's okay to take innocent people's lives. And so we talk about kind of the origins of rage and hate and entitlement, grieved entitlement, things that lead to extremism that can lead people to actually become terrorists.
That's really interesting because I've had that discussion with my children. I have one that's a little bit younger, but the two older ones are definitely, you know, they talk about it. They talk about it in school and, you know, high school. They talk, of course, in some religion class my son had last year. They talked about it. And that's interesting because where does that come from? Where do people go, as I call it, and I know it's probably not the right term to use for your sake, but off the radar, literally, they just get so filled with hatred and they turn to violence as a means to accomplish a goal. It's hard to explain that. Well, we've got to wrap. So thank you so much, Dr. Birdall, for joining us. And warningsignsforparents.com, and we can also find links to buy the book, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com.
We are featuring today Candace Knight. She blogs at candace-knight.com, and that's Candace with an I, C-A-N-D-I-C-E. And welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Candace.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
We talk to a lot of moms, but this is the first time I've actually spoken to a performer who's got your own album. So tell us a little bit about your solo album.
This is actually the second CD that I've done solo, and it's my very first lullaby CD. Basically, it's called Starlight, Starbright. I have a few original songs on here, but I also have some covers of some of the just beautiful classic songs and some songs that people would never think of to sing to their children that we did in more of a lullaby fashion that's just very relaxing and peaceful. I always wanted my kids to wake up to the sound of my voice and to go to sleep to the sound of my voice, for that to be the first thing they heard in the morning and the last thing at night. So I really feel like it's you know, when you have that foundation with children where it's just that incredible serenity, that peacefulness, that innocence, and you're holding them in your arms and you're just rocking them to sleep, there's really no more peaceful time, you know, that they get to experience and probably you get to experience ever again. So for me, it was really important to put these moments down on a CD. So it was kind of not only for me, it's almost like a selfish journey because I really wanted to, you know, to have those incredible moments of peacefulness, but also for other people to be able to have those moments with their children as well. Some people aren't as confident in singing in, you know, in their own voices, and so they don't get to sing to their children. So I really wanted them to have just that beautiful music, that pure, peaceful, incredible time where they could have that innocence and allow their children to be lulled off to the land of dreams and just have those moments for them.
I bought plenty of these of CDs like this, which I loved. Anytime I found you know, lullabies or fun kids songs, everything from Raffi to Mozart CDs for kids. Mm-hmm. The funny story is when my youngest, she's only 10, but when she was about 3, I would rock her to, you know, read a book, and then I'd sing a lullaby. And finally, when she was about 3, she finally said, "Okay, mommy, you can stop singing now." because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. So,
oh, no. But see, that's almost what inspired this, because I had two friends who got pregnant at the same time I did, and we were having this conversation. In the interim, I remember talking to them saying, isn't it the most beautiful, peaceful, calming moment? And then, you know, when you're just sitting there singing to your child, and they both looked at me like I was insane. And they were like, exactly. I would never sing to my child because it would scare the heck out of them.
You are inspired by your children, and you took your family on tour.
Yes, they come with me on the road. That's right. When we do touring, it's a little bit tricky. I always try to, as soon as I step off the stage, you know, rush back to the hotel, and I want to, you know, try to be there to put them to sleep as quickly as I can. So, so I can spend time with them. But it is a little bit tricky sometimes because, you know, as a performer, you have to do a lot of traveling, and it's hard for the kids to, you know, to be in a vehicle for that amount of time. So we'll try to set them up in a hotel, and then we'll do the crazy traveling and come back and meet them, you know, back there. But they've been doing that since each one of them was 1.5. And actually my daughter Autumn wrote one of the songs on the CD at the age of 1.5. I walked in and she was singing to her dollies, putting them to sleep. And she made up this beautiful song. And I just thought it was this amazing moment, just completely improvised. And so she's been writing songs since then. And she actually stars in the videos as well as my son. So for songs like Once in a Garden and Lullaby in the Night is the song that she wrote. And she's the star of that video when she was 3 years old. So
Cool. The musical talent is, you know, running through the family, which is wonderful.
I think music is so important. I mean, we have family music time. My husband obviously has been playing guitar for over 50 years. So, you know, and I play all the Renaissance woodwinds and medieval woodwinds. So I've got, you know, recorders around the house and shawms and rauschweiss and things like that. I actually go to the preschools here and I teach the kids on some of the historical instruments that they would never normally see about and, you know, or hear about. And so they get some fun time. They get a little bit of education, and I hand out little plastic recorders at the end. They all get to play along with them. So it's interesting. But, you know, I think that musical foundation is so important in people's lives. So we still have family music time. My son prefers to bang on the drums. My daughter just wants to sing along to everything. And, you know, we just make up songs as we go along. But it's just so important to have music in your life, I think.
Honestly, I think so much of music education has been taken out of school curriculum. And and I agree with you. It's so much an important part of our overall education and helps with other subjects as well. So, you know, absolutely. The music and math connection is huge, right? So
and also I mean the expression, I mean, you know, emotional expression,
right.
You know, and it was an amazing thing to have music around all the time.
Absolutely. CandiceKnight.com, that's CandiceKnight.com, and tell our listeners really quickly where they can find your CD.
Well, we have a merchandise store on CandiceKnight.com. I'm also represented on Facebook at the Candice Knight official site, and we do Instagram and Twitter, as you mentioned, but also you can purchase the CD on iTunes or on Amazon.
Perfect, and it's Starlight, Star Bright. Congratulations on the CD, and we look forward to hearing about the next one that's coming out. And when we come back, we're joined by Heather Hopt. She is the author of Knights in Training, 10 Principles for Raising Honorable, Courageous, and Compassionate Boys. We'll be right back.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome back. And our next guest up is Heather Hopt. She is the author of Knights in Training, 10 Principles for Raising Honorable, Courageous, and Compassionate Boys. She is the mother of three knights of her own and a little princess. And she wants to raise children who will make a difference in the world, as all moms do. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Heather.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So when was the book released, and tell us a little bit about it? What inspired you to write Knights in Training?
Yeah. Well, today is official launch day, so it is available as of this morning.
Congratulations.
And thank you. It's surreal. And I wrote the book because I love my boys, and I love watching other parents at work raising their sons. And so when I started to delve into the history of chivalry, and I realized it was so much more than how a man treats a woman. It was an entire code of conduct. It really filled me with a sense of excitement that this is a way that we could tap into the heart of our boys and really reach them where they're at and the way they're wired with their love for adventure, their bent towards taking risks, and really captivate their imagination and give them a vision for what it could look like to live this out, not only in the someday season of adulthood, but living it out even now in the season of boyhood.
So we, I see, and I even see there's a lot of the, I see billboards, believe it or not, I'm in Florida and I see them. It says there's these websites too. Like that's what people are saying is that, you know, you need to raise your boys how you want them to be as men, as fathers, as husbands, as even employees or employers. So tell us a little bit of a sneak peek at the book and how that helps. Is it anecdotal? Is it tips, strategies? How would you describe the book?
It's a little bit of both. So what I do is I break down the 10 aspects from the Code of Chivalry, and I spend a chapter talking about each one. Why was it important for the knights of old? And I specifically try to take those examples from picture books and chapter books that are available to children now so we can have these conversations with our kids. And then I talk about why it's critical today. So I go into some of the research of behind why this is important, what we can do about it. And then I end each chapter with a throw down the gauntlet section, which has practical tips. So this is where we take the theoretical, like, yeah, this is a great idea. And then we go, how can we do this? How can we flesh this out? And so I talk about how to have these conversations with your kids, things to talk about, games to play, things to do that really help our children embody each of these aspects of the code, whether that's learning to obey those in authority over you, standing up and defending and protecting the weak, what does that look like in the season of boyhood, or going over to the quintessential, how do we respect and honor women?
That's excellent. You know, I like the idea that you, it's not just a parent book, it gives you the bridge to play, like you said, games to play and conversations to have, you know, conversation starters. That's wonderful. What would you say are the biggest pitfalls you see in today's young boys and young men that they face when it comes to, let me flip the conversation and say, what pitfalls the parents face when they have to raise their young boys to be honorable, courageous, and compassionate?
Yeah. Well, we see a culture that really, almost celebrates in a weird way. Like, we don't want it, and yet we sort of celebrate it. The whole idea of being rude and crude, and we've normalized that. Like, that's normal, and that's what everybody is, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then we're also seeing these boys growing up, and they're sort of having this failure to launch. And so there's just a lot of apathy, and there's no drive, and they have no vision for their life. And so we're seeing boys to a much greater extent than girls, and actually we're talking about men and women here, into their 20s and 30s who are still dependent on mom and dad for support, and they don't have that drive that typified adulthood where you would go out and you would make your way in the world. And so this book goes back and goes, what can we do at a foundational level when our children are younger? How can we set them up to give them a vision for what their life can look like and really turn them loose to live that?
That's great. You know, that's a perfect segue to my next question. Are we talking about the book that is for younger boys? I have a 17-year-old and I would love to read the book about faith. He's great student, but when I ask him, what do you want to do? What do you see yourself doing? I get random answers and then not really much passion behind it. So is this book good for a 17-year-old boy, or is it still skewed a little younger?
In my head, like, a lot of the application points are geared, I would say, probably to the elementary years, but the principles are timeless. A boy in the Middle Ages was in that training period, that period of knight training, from when they were about 6 or 7 all the way up until they were 21.
Right.
And so I make the charge to parents to view this entire, to have that big picture view of we're in this for the long haul, to raise our kids well and to be aiming towards adulthood and aiming towards how can we equip our kids to succeed. And so especially as we get into the latter chapters, that really starts to be fleshed out, I think, more so as our kids get older, really making sure that they have habits of perseverance and that charge to pursue excellence. And so there's definitely principles for everyone. But my big aim with the book is really helping and equipping parents to lay those foundations in the earlier years.
That's terrific. And as we know, they're bombarded by so many conflicting messages. So this sounds like, you know, really great book. And it is called Knights in Training, 10 Principles for Raising Honorable, Courageous, and Compassionate Boys. Heather Haupt, that's HAUPT.com. And the book is available everywhere, correct? Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
yes.
Bookstores everywhere?
Yep.
Okay, great. Congratulations on the book. And today is the launch. That's so exciting for you. Best of luck with the book. And when we come back, we are joined by Joe Cohn. He is going to actually talk about real estate. He is an attorney, and he has been handling real estate law. So we're going to talk about a few points about what to look for when you're buying a house. We'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
So we're taking a practical step into Mom's Talk Radio today, where I'm pleased to welcome Joe Cohn. He officially launched his law office in the year 2001, and so he has practiced real estate law, contracts, foreclosure, and bankruptcy protections for 16 years. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. And your website, by the way, let me shout it out really quick, is jlcohn.com. And you're in our neck of the woods in South Florida. So tell us a little bit about, we were going to talk about real estate, what to look for in real estate. Is there any tips you'd give our listeners?
Right now, the market is kind of crazy. I know
it is.
I get a lot of calls from my realtors that refer me deals and from my buyers that are, you know, they're putting contracts out there. And, you know, if they're not offering full price right now, it's, at least in South Florida, they're competing with 2, 3, 4, 5 contracts sometimes. So I think my best advice, you know, when you're starting out on a contract is, you know, you might have to give that that first deal the full price offer, whether they, you know, want to do it or not, just to be competitive. It's crazy.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting. A friend of mine lives in here near me in Pompano Beach. And she said, well, we're just going to throw a for sale sign up and see what we get. If we get our price, we're out. It 24 hours. They had full price for their contract, you know?
Yeah.
So you're right. It's really been crazy. So
one thing
go ahead. You go.
I was going to say the for sale by owner. Sometimes not as good as it sounds, because even though they may have gotten the price that they wanted, sometimes people think that, you know, if I have a realtor, I've got to pay 6% and it's going to take out of my profit. But sometimes, most times, a realtor will probably get you even more than you thought you could. So, you know, sometimes it's good to have that realtor too, even though the market is sort of a seller's sort of market.
True. So when it comes to the real estate law part of your practice, I mean, when would you suggest, does everyone need a lawyer, any buyer or seller? Or is that particularly, you know, what you handle contracts as well? So is it when does a lawyer have to get involved in a real estate transaction?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, in Florida, you do not need a lawyer to issue title insurance. You don't need a lawyer to prepare the contract. You don't need a lawyer for any of that stuff. Problem is, after you sign that contract, and if there's something in there that's going to be negatively affected you, it's too late.
Right.
The way I work is my fees are the same whether you use me from day one or, you know, the last day of the closing. So we always recommend, you know, retain me first, whether you're buying or selling, and we can obviously review the contract, make sure you're protected, again, whether you're buying or selling. So I'd say right at the beginning when you're ready to go. Some people even retain me before they even sign the listing agreement. So the earlier, the better, because the more I can be involved in the beginning, the more I can protect my clients.
Right. And that's that purchase enough property over the years. I agree with you. It's there's so many. I don't know. It's overwhelming, especially again, I'm not an attorney and I'd rather have one looking out for my best interest. So you have a son and you let's flip to the personal side. Enjoy the journey is the quote you live by. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, everybody says, you know, the end is the result there. But sometimes, you know, you forget to enjoy the fun part of getting there. So even if it's even if the end is not where you wanted it, you know, at least you're enjoying the ride when you're getting there.
Right. And you live in with your son down in South Florida. So, but you're probably busy, really busy with your practice. So how do you balance that?
Well, the good news is I've been doing this for, like I said, 16 years on my own, 20 years as an attorney. So I hire a bunch of really great people who work for me. So it affords me the ability to, you know, go ahead and take care of the things that I need to take care of, which, of course, is my son. It gives me, you know, one of the great things I have in my own practice and hiring great people is I don't need to be there 24 hours a day. So I have plenty of time for my son.
Good for you. What do you do? So when you're talking, I mentioned it before the segment that you had some other tips for looking in for the particular house that would work for a family. Can you give us your top two or three tips?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially for me, like just my own point of view, I have an 11-year-old son. So I know when he was three, I lived in Fort Lauderdale. So I was divorced. So I had to come west, of course, where everybody comes when they have kids. So the things that I looked for was to make sure that, you know, there's enough room in the house, even though there's just two of us, to make sure the neighborhood was somewhere I would want to obviously raise a kid and where there was other children. And obviously the most important thing for me was the school system. I didn't want to be in a community where the house was great, the neighbors are great, but the school system was awful. And I had to pay another $20,000 a year for private school. So I like the idea of, you know, the public schools in our area. So I just, I guess that's just based on if you want to send your kid to a private school or a public school.
And, you know, so, I made that mistake. I think I'm pretty intelligent. And I fell in love with a house on the water in Pompano Beach. And yeah, I paid the tuition that you're talking about. So you're right. I could have probably gone two more miles up the road and been in a better school district. So that's so important. Your website is jlkohn.com. Joe practices law and anything really, because contracts, foreclosure, and real estate is pretty much anybody needs that, right?
Oh yeah, it's a crazy market right now. Like I said before, between the people who got in trouble with some of their houses, and we have to defend the foreclosures, get them out of that, and then of course, you know, the thing that I like better, obviously, is getting people new houses and, you know, closing on their dreams.
Yeah. Real quick, we have about 30 seconds to close. Have you seen a decline in the bankruptcy filings? Because I know it was just crazy, of course, after the recession and everybody got upside down and was foreclosing and declaring, you know, bankruptcy. Have you seen any change in that in the last 2-3 years?
Oh, yeah. When we, in the height of the market, we would probably do 30, 40 short sale closings, open files a month. Now we're down to probably, you know, half a dozen. So definitely things are looking better for sure.
Right. That's good. That's good. Well, thank you so much, Joe, for joining us again. Joe Cohn, jlcohn.com. And have a great day. And when we come back, we're joined by Bonnie Brennan. We'll close the show. She is the Eating Recovery Center Senior Clinical Director. We'll take a quick break. Stay with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
This is Marian for Maria, and we're wrapping up this fantastic episode of Mom Talk Radio. I'm pleased to welcome Bonnie Brennan. She is the Eating Recovery Center Senior Clinical Director, and it's eatingrecoverycenter.com. And it's a very important topic, a tough one for many parents who deal with eating disorders or might suspect an eating disorder in their house. So Bonnie's going to give us some great intel on what to look for and how to get help. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Bonnie.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate you having me on the show. And this is a really important thing to talk about. If you think any of this might apply to your loved one or your child at home, and it could even apply to yourself or other adult family members, it's always better to take the risk and say that you notice that there's something going on, and for them to be perhaps even to be mad at you. A lot of people fear, well, what if I confront them and I'm wrong? I'd rather have them mad at you than miss that. What is the highest mortality rate of any mental illness, anorexia nervosa, or with a bulimia nervosa, somebody who could actually die from a heart attack, even though they look completely healthy and normal weight. So if you have to err on the side of, should I make this decision or not, always err on the side of that you could get it wrong, but you could also be saving a life.
Right. And honestly, if to get it wrong, all you have to do, you know, hopefully you can apologize and move on, but at least it shows that you care enough to make that inquiry.
Right. And a lot of folks with eating disorders, we say eating disorders thrive in secrecy and isolation. So I've treated many, many folks over the years, and what they will tell you is that when they're initially confronted, they might have denied it, but they've never forgotten that person who took the time to notice and say something.
And you had mentioned as anorexia nervosa as being the highest mortality rate in mental issues, right? Or mental illness?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't know that. What are the warning signs, and are we looking at a particular age range, or is it pretty much non-discriminatory when it comes to, you know, if you see a sign in someone, is it typically a teenage girl? I mean, that's what pops into my head, or is that ignorant?
Actually, that is a very prevalent time for a development of an eating disorder for girls in particular, going through puberty. I don't know if you know this, Mary, but about the average teenage girl gains about 40 pounds of body fat going through puberty. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, all of that weight will go to the chest, the stomach, and the hips. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it's very natural for some girls to worry about that. You know, the body will redistribute that weight as it continues forward to adulthood, but it can feel very disconcerting to them, especially if they're used to doing a certain kind of athletic regimen that would require them to stay a certain weight, like in dance or gymnastics, or, you know, even runners, they would worry about that. So what happens is the girl who's gaining this weight makes a very realistic choice at the time. Well, maybe I should eat healthier, or maybe I should go on a diet because, you know, I'm beginning to change and I want my peers to accept me, and, you know, I want to feel in control of my life. But for those who are genetically loaded for an eating disorder, that can be a time when it comes on board. So we have a high degree of our folks will start the initial signs of eating disorders, and really sometimes when they're as young as children and adolescents.
Right.
But then
right.
The other time, of course, would be going off to college too. But from 18 to 25 is another time when folks start
those stressors in there,
change.
Right? So give us some quick warning signs that we should look for as parents, and then the follow-up to that will be what we do. What if we see some of these signs?
Yeah, so some signs are, of course, dramatic weight loss, having difficulty with choosing foods. Like sometimes there'll be a diet started, and then more and more foods are eliminated. That's what we see a lot these days of people trying to eat healthy, for example, but then they're just eat less and less of what they can eat. Going to the bathroom right after a meal could indicate that they're trying to get rid of the food, is how we like to call it, purging.
Right.
Or if you find laxatives, for those folks who are binge eating, they'll, you know, oftentimes hide food wrappers in their rooms, or hoard food for later binges. If you notice that there's a lot of food missing from the cabinets, it could be that. And it also, it's confusing because teenagers are also hungry. And, you know, they go through growth spurts.
So we can find information at
eatingrecoverycenter.com. There's a screening tool, initial screening tool on there for friends and family members too. And then we always do our assessments too. We can, if you're interested in knowing more, wondering what your treatment options are, our intake department has a call center that's 24/7.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Bonnie. It's a very important topic. And again, eatingrecoverycenter.com, Bonnie Brennan. And thank you all so much for joining us and spending this last hour with us on Mom Talk Radio. We hope you have a wonderful week. We will be back next week with another terrific show. Have a wonderful week, everybody.